Macmillan Audio presents The Stalin Affair, the impossible alliance that won the war. Written and read for you by Giles Milton. Author's note. This is a true story. Anything enclosed in quotation marks is reported dialogue. Any description of daily life is taken from letters, diaries, and memoirs. Many of these accounts were hastily written and never intended for publication. I've standardized spelling and rectified grammar to make them easier to understand. I've also spelled out most, but not all, acronyms and abbreviations. Thus, FO becomes Foreign Office, and ACK becomes Archibald Clark Kerr. But some, like NKVD, People's Commissariat for Internal Affairs, precursor to the KGB, remain as acronyms. And PM, as most British listeners will know, means Prime Minister. There's little consistency to my method. My objective has been clarity. Likewise with the transliteration of Russian names. I've used the preferred spelling of the British and Americans living in Moscow during the war, and have followed the same rule for place names. Thus, Arkhangelsk is Archangel, as it always was in the 1940s. One of the principal characters in this audiobook, Archibald Clark Kerr, insisted that everyone should call him Archie, a most unusual break from diplomatic convention. I followed his wish and extended this informality to the other main characters as well. There's good reason for doing so. Kathleen Harriman was known to everyone as Kathy, and her father, Averill Harriman, was always Averill or Ave. Stalin, however, must remain as Stalin. He was not amused when told that his nickname was Uncle Joe. There is only one thing worse than fighting with allies, and that is fighting without them. Winston Churchill, 1944. Prelude. Midsummer Night, 1941. It was the shortest night of the year. The sky to the west was still streaked with light, but in the Soviet borderlands, which stretched from the Baltic to the Black Sea, it was finally dark. The waning moon appeared as no more than a faint glance of silver. Along the entire Soviet frontier, 1,800 miles in length, the greatest army in history was crouched in the shadows. Infantry, gunners, drivers, mechanics, all were watching and waiting. More than 3 million battle-hardened troops of the German Wehrmacht were on the highest alert, having just received news that Operation Barbarossa was to be launched that very night. The Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union was poised to begin. Those 3 million soldiers were in the vanguard of a vast mechanized army that had already steamrolled across Europe. Poland, Norway, Denmark, Belgium, the Low Countries, and France all had been crushed by the Nazis. Now the Wehrmacht was to take on its most formidable enemy to date, Stalin's Red Army. Hitler and his generals were confident of success, for their invading force included 3,350 tanks, 2,770 aircraft, and 7,184 artillery pieces, as well as 600,000 trucks and 600,000 horses. No fewer than 148 divisions had been assembled into three gigantic army groups, designated North, Centre, and South. They were to thrust deep into Soviet territory with the aim of capturing Leningrad, Moscow, and the Soviet Ukraine. Hitler was determined to triumph where Napoleon and his Grande Armée had so spectacularly failed. In the early hours of Sunday, the 22nd of June, 1941, German artillery troops began removing the camouflage netting from their guns and dragging them from their shelter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?